Good evening. Welcome to The Buck Stops Here. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, extremely strong words from the Supreme Court, which makes it clear that extrajudicial killings, in other words, fake encounters, will not be tolerated in Manipur, where the controversial Armed Forces Special Powers Act is in force to help security agencies fight insurgency. What's more, there will be no immunity from prosecution for security forces if there are complaints of human rights abuse. And more than 1,500 cases of alleged fake encounters will now be investigated, though it's not clear yet by which agency. On the show tonight, the army cannot use excessive force in disturbed areas, or the police or the paramilitary forces for that matter. But the question we are asking is, has the Supreme Court's verdict clipped the army's wings? If members of our armed forces are deployed and employed to kill citizens of our country on the mere allegation or suspicion that they are enemy, not only the rule of law, but our democracy would be in grave danger. Very strong words from the Supreme Court, which has made it clear that the army, police and paramilitary forces cannot use excessive force in areas in Manipur where the controversial Armed Forces Special Powers Act is in place. What's more, security forces are not immune to legal scrutiny if there are allegations of human rights abuse. And more than 1,500 allegations of extrajudicial killings in Manipur between 2000 and 2012 will now be investigated. Long Jump Meena is the mother of Long Jump Uttam Kumar, who was killed in his own house by police in 2008. She says her son was shot dead and a gun planted to make it appear that he was attacking the police. For the army, which has been shielded by AFSPA for 3 decades in Manipur, today's verdict may mean having to restructure cordon and search operations against militants in the state. So far, AFSPA has allowed soldiers to open fire in disturbed areas without fear of prosecution.
This was passed in 1958 by the parliament, because the Union of India realizes that if you have to exercise control over these areas, then the soldiers need some kind of a legal protection.
But human rights activists, including Irom Sharmila, who's been force-fed for 16 years after she went on hunger strike in protest of AFSPA, will disagree. Today's a big day, they argue, for justice for innocent citizens wrongly gunned down in the fight against insurgency. With Alok Pandey, Vishnu Shom for NDTV. Well, a big verdict by the Supreme Court today. This debate on the Armed Forces Special Powers Act has gone on now for a very long time. It's been a real issue in Kashmir. It's certainly been an issue in the Northeast. And now with regard to Manipur, the Supreme Court has made it clear that extrajudicial killings, fake encounters is one way of actually phrasing it. None of that will be tolerated at all. And very significantly, 1,500 cases between 2000 and 2012 will be investigated. Joining us now to debate this and whether the wings of the army, the paramilitary forces and the police have been clipped or not, I'm joined by Colin Gonzalez. He's been very closely associated with this case, senior advocate in the Supreme Court. Lieutenant General R.S. Kadyan, the former Deputy Chief of Army Staff with us, Ejaz Ilmi, the BJP leader, and also joining me, Bina Lakshmi Nepram. She's a writer and activist and follows human rights and civil rights issues in the Northeast very, very closely. Mr. Gonzalez, let me come to you first. The Armed Forces Special Powers Act, many people believe, is outdated, it's passé, it doesn't recognize the basic rights that any individual, any human needs to have, irrespective of whether they live in a disturbed area or not. With today's judgment, is there some way in which that concern is being rectified?
Vishnu, I can't hear you very clearly. There's some disturbance on the line. But I must say, this is the first part of a two-part judgment. And the two-part judgment, the second part is expected after some 4 or 8 weeks or so. But the first part lays down the principles of conduct for the armed forces and the police in Manipur, and it lays down certain principles which I think starts off on a very positive line. First of all, it says that the use of the armed forces for such a prolonged period of time indicates that there's a failure of the civilian administration or there's a failure of the armed forces. And it cannot be that the Armed Forces Special Powers Act carries on to be in force for 50 years or more. Something is very fundamentally wrong. It debunks the government of India's stand that India is at war with certain enemies in Manipur. And the Supreme Court judgment says there's no war. There's also no armed rebellion. It's only a question of internal disturbance. And the civil administration must gear up to handle this internal disturbance with the aid of the armed forces. It categorically says that the armed forces cannot supplant the civil administration. And it says that any killing by the armed forces or the police must be thoroughly inquired into. And it rejects the defense that the Human Rights Division of the Army has conducted an inquiry and that is enough. So the Supreme Court says that's not good enough at all. Very important, it says that the armed forces should not be used against the men and women of this country, the citizens of this country. And it's time to stop this use of armed forces, which are best suited for fighting an enemy outside. We must stop this use by the armed forces to attack our own countrymen. It debunks the idea that there is absolute immunity.
I want to get, we'll discuss many other points. I want to get in general Raj Kadyan over here. Sir, I'm going to read out one very important part of the judgment. It says, if members of our armed forces are deployed and employed to kill citizens of our country on the mere allegation or suspicion that they are enemy, not only the rule of law, but our democracy would be in grave danger. Does this essentially mean that the Armed Forces Special Powers Act, as you know it, in the Northeast, is over?
Vishnu, before I can comment on the Armed Forces Special Powers Act, let me make a very humble submission. I have the highest regard for the judiciary, but my request is that for subjects dealing with national security, the issues need to be looked at more pragmatically rather than idealistically. Now, no army in the world anywhere ever likes to get involved into counter-insurgency operations, which are the most complicated, most difficult, and most disliked. However, Indian Army has been unique for having been so deployed almost without a break in the last 60 years in various parts of the country. It is not Army's liking, it is not Army's choice. Now coming back to the Armed Forces Special Powers Act. Unfortunately, this has become a very favorite punching bag for various right activists.
Punching back for rights activists,
sir. This is an enabling act which is passed by the Parliament of India to give a legal cover to the members of the army. I am speaking only about the army at the moment. My domain knowledge does not extend to others.
Half a second, Bina.
Every army that gets deployed anywhere in civil areas has been given a legal cover. We are not an exception.
No, but sir, why the question?
It is a usual tactic.
The question is this, sir, General Kadyan, why does the army or the police or the paramilitary require this legal cover? Shouldn't the principle of justice exist even in the conduct of counterinsurgency operations? Surely nobody expects the armed forces to go and shoot anybody they believe is a suspect.
Yeah. Vishnu, 2 points. Let us look at it, look at the ground situation. I am speaking in the capacity of someone who's been there at the receiving end. You send a soldier in a situation without his consent quite often against his will. But then you expect him
to perform a very difficult task and achieve a success.
Our army, Bina. Let's not.
Then you also tie down his hand by telling him that if you make a mistake, you will be held up by the criminal court. Which human being would like to do a task with sincerity and
dedication,
commitment?
I think, Bina, in as much as we speak about the rights issue, I think what the general says has a lot of merit. Our soldiers operate in very difficult conditions in the Northeast against a very difficult insurgency.
Absolutely.
And while excesses, as the Supreme Court seems to believe, may have occurred, there needs to be some respect of the fact that these operations are conducted in very difficult circumstances. And therefore, the armed forces, the army, believes AFSPA must remain.
Vishnu, first of all, let me be very clear. The Armed Forces Special Power Act was passed in the Indian Parliament in May 1958. It was only supposed to be there for a few months. It was supposed to be an emergency act only for a few months.
It's been there for
more than 58 years.
And in Manipur for more than 3 decades.
Absolutely.
Right?
More than three. It's in the Naga Hills, which also covers parts of Manipur. Since 1958, that's where the act was first imposed. The Armed Forces Special Act, General Kadian, and many others, was actually a colonial British act, which was there to thwart the Quit India movement. We adopted it against our own people. As Colin also said, that are we engaging into a war against the nation? 20,000 Manipuris have died because of the insurgency and counter-insurgency operations.
But what about the number of armed forces personnel who've also died?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Those numbers are also fairly horrific.
Now, General Kadian said that, you know, punching back, okay, forget the rights activists or families who have been as a part of the. Today is actually the people of Manipur, particularly the 20,000 family members beyond the 1,500. Today is a moment of quiet dignity for them. Many of our bodies of our young people whom we could not even find, many of those who have been tortured and killed, forget us. Jeevan Reddy Commission in 2004, the Moili Commission 2007, the present Vice President of India, Hamid Ansari's commission in 2007, have asked for the repeal of the Armed Forces Special Power. These are not Manipuris. These are credible members of the community of our country who are saying that this act needs to go. By the way, Som, you know, we believe in the Indian Constitution. India says every Indian has a right to life.
Yes.
This act says you have no right to life in Manipur. As a committed citizen of this country, how do you feel as equal citizens in an equal country when you say, in Manipur, you get shot dead? No one says no to the army. The army has done magnificent work in flood, in counter, and other operations. But then we are always saying, do not equip them in extraordinary law. It's against our own constitution. It's against the rights principles.
Okay.
This is what we're asking.
Okay.
This.
I just come in as a BJP leader because the BJP in Kashmir and also in the Northeast feels that the army's voice needs to be heard when it comes to the Armed Forces Special Powers Act. Today you have this very strong Supreme Court verdict. What is the position of your party on this?
Well, we're very, very clear. We know it's a very complex situation, whether it's Kashmir or it's Manipur. There are over 16 active groups out of 30, 40 which have gone about. Each of them engaged in arms running, drug peddling, individual groups trying to usurp, And insurgent groups trying to up the government at all given times, abducting children, making them child soldiers. So the offences have been there from the insurgent side. In fact, I feel the army, to a large extent, has protected a large parts of Manipur from the wrath of the insurgents as far as abduction is concerned, killing is concerned, picking up children is concerned, making them child soldiers.
So, as far as AFSPA is concerned,
AFSPA obviously is an enabling mechanism. The fact is,
it's a living mechanism.
No, it's an enabling mechanism.
An enabling mechanism.
It is important,
which
to
must remain.
You know, it has to remain. The only reason to withdraw AFSA has to come in consonance with the defense establishment, which is taking care of the security of the state.
Nobody is talking about withdrawing AFSPA. It remains with conditions.
Yes,
conditions are that prosecution can take
those
place.
Those conditions by the Supreme Court
complaints
have been there for the last 15 years. The do's and don'ts are very clear. The commandments. The army has to live by those.
If there are excesses, let them
be looked into. The fact is, the army is doing a spectacular job in making sure for the last 58 years, 63 years, keeping Manipur together with
Colin
the Gonzalez of India.
You know, BJP, in their manifesto before elections in Manipur, said, if we come to power, we will repeal the Armed Forces Special Act. Why are you lying now? You said you will repeal the Armed Forces.
The government of India.
Sharbil hasn't eaten for 16 years.
I agree with you.
Is she not a citizen of
we are not
country.
In power for the last 16 years. Let me
we
assure you.
We are not asking the army should move out. Let it protect the five countries' border that we have with five countries. We are not saying no to the army. But do not give them impunity. Khangja Manorama, how she was murdered and raped and
I
killed.
Totally agree with you. So I totally. Saying, nobody can justify these killings.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, nobody can justify the killing of innocent Indian citizens and Manipuris.
The promise,
people from Myanmar absolutely. Operating in Nagaland, the
absolutely.
Kukis,
no, but
the Warpis,
that the
Pangals.
BJP had made, which Bina refers to, of the BJP yes. saying that AFSPA yes. will go in Manipur. You haven't
we,
done that
We
yet.
Said we'll look at ASPA,
no,
the
no.
fact of vis-a-vis...
We have the manifesto.
You have the manifesto. No no government can repeal ASPA without consulting the army, which is in the
then
forefront.
Then why did you write in your manifesto?
No, it's a situation conducive. Children are still being picked up, kidnapped,
peculiar.
Their child shoulders. No, if the insurgency doesn't stop, if innocents are not being killed all the time, if there's secession happening and there are 20 groups trying to eat up the profits and do abductions, kill industry.
20, it's 60 groups, by the way.
60 groups, largely groups, 20 are active right now. So
okay,
the government has a responsibility to the state,
I want
to
bring
union,
in Colin,
to the own people
Colin,
also.
Colin Gonzalez, the armed forces, even while there are new rules or new guidelines which have been set up by the Supreme Court today, they already have their own guidelines. They are not allowed to kill impulsively. These rules exist. There are jawans, there are officers, there are policemen who are prosecuted within the system as well. And over a period of time, many of the excesses which perhaps had been committed earlier, those numbers, a lot of people would say, have actually come down. But by actually having these more stringent guidelines now, aren't you binding the hands of your soldiers who are trying to protect people over there?
See, not at all. In fact, I must tell you, this was not a case on the repeal of AFSPA at all. It recognized, the petitioners recognized, and when I argued the matter, I made a distinction between two types of situations existing side by side. What the general said is not entirely wrong. There are situations where militants attack the army fights back, militants are killed, army personnel are killed, and we regret army personnel being killed. In a situation where terrorists attack army people. That situation exists. We don't deny it, and we said before the court, this is an existing situation in Manipur. Parallel to that is a situation of rogue people, rogue personnel within the army, within the police, within the commandos, who pick up people, take them into custody, torture them, and kill them in cold blood. And then they spread the story that these were militants who attacked them, whereas these were persons taken from their homes, their eyewitnesses, and persons killed in custody. So our case focused only on the second aspect. We are concerned only with rogue elements within the army, the commandos within the police forces, who for the last 50 years have developed a feeling that they are all James Bond, licensed to kill, who can take a person, torture, and kill them in custody. Our case was only about that. And all these killings, no investigation, no FIR registered against those persons, even though complaints are made, and a complete breakdown of the rule of law. So we want to purge that part of illegality in Manipur,
okay.
where killings of people have taken place indiscriminately. That is the limited ambit of the case.
Yeah, Vishnu, I'm glad Colin clarified, because you can't compromise with the state, the government of India, and the incorporation of Manipur as an important member state of this country, and leave it to insurgents to ride roughshod over his own people. There is a sense of security which has to be provided. We need the army there. But yes, if there are elements which need to be investigated, yeah. and because every life is precious, there can't be extrajudicial killings. There can be investigation done in a manner, a dignified manner, but at the same time, do not demean the army that they are, all of them are rogue elements. Yeah. They're doing a spectacular job That's in protecting Manipuris yeah. from insurgents from across the border, from Myanmar, from Nagaland rebels, Kuki rebels, all kinds of rebels
yes,
out there.
Yes, but the question is, if I can just say, Vishnu, for a minute, the question is, Vishnu,
yes, sir.
Why for 50 years has the Chief of Army Staff, allowed these killings, this torture, this extrajudicial executions to take place under his very nose? Why did the army keep silent?
General Kadyan, would you like to respond to that?
Why did the army
that?
Not identify?
Why were human rights abuses not respected earlier on is what Colin is referring to, Mr. Gonzalez is referring to. General Kadyan?
Yeah. Vishnu, first of all, let me assure your viewers that army, apart from the normal rules and regulations, follows a very strict moral code issued as 10 commandments by the army chief.
Absolutely.
That is like a Bible for all troops deployed in insurgency areas. Army, let me also clarify, it is not the army's role to sort out an insurgency problem. Army can only sort out a military problem. This problem, which is political, which is psychological, which is economic, which is social, the army at best can keep the problem depressed, under control, down to a level where the civil administration can function and carry out their functions of governance and development. That army has been doing successfully.
Vishnu, this...
So, army, this Armed Forces Power Act is not a license to kill.
It's more of a collapse of a,
actually,
state administration.
Vishnu, let me make it very clear. Army is there, in fact, technically, they should never be operating in civilian areas unless there are emergency situations.
But
like
if there is an emergency situation, you yourself mentioned there are 60 groups which exist in that area who are responsible for insurgency. A lot of these groups are extremely violent.
A lot of these groups have been set up by political parties. We as citizens of Manipur, we are fed up of the continuum of 60 years of violence thrusted on us, Vishnu. We have 20,000 women who have lost husbands in this conflict. We just need a normal life. We don't want either military or even armed groups to come and operate in areas where we just want to live a life of peace. We are living in a completely disturbed situation. All we are saying is, repeatedly we have spoken with the Home Ministry also, the removal of the Armed Forces Special Power Act will not sever Manipur from the rest of India. In fact, it will be the greatest confidence building measure India can give to the people of Manipur. It will take the sting out of insurgency. It will give the confidence back to people.
General Kadiyar, in Tripura, AFSPA has been withdrawn. Yeah. It's an example where it's been withdrawn. The law and order situation is okay. Yeah. Is it time for the army to perhaps take a leap of faith? I know the situation in every state is different, but I'm asking you about Manipur since you know the state well.
One point. Vishnu, I have one point to make. I have full respect for the lady's argument. She mentioned 25,000 Manipuris have died in the last couple of decades. It's a very sad development. Our own countrymen, innocent people are dying. But I must also tell the viewers that many more that number of the soldiers have died. Recently in Manipur, a vehicle was ambushed in January this year.
80% of the casualties in Manipur
died.
Are civilians.
I don't think it's right to compare all casualties. All casualties are wrong.
Each life is precious.
Every life is precious. So it's not comparing army and civilians. All lives are precious. Yes, General, go ahead with your point.
The point I'm making, Vishnu, is what about the human rights of the soldiers? Why is no NGO coming forward? I was in Nagaland, one of our vehicles got blown up, 8 people died. I said, file a case, the system laughed at me.
So all right, I think General, the issue is of human rights, and that includes soldiers, it includes civilians, and it includes a large part of our country. But one way or the other, today there has been a judgment, and there will be many who will be watching this, and many on Twitter who will be saying, let the armed forces decide who should deal with insurgency. How can judges of the Supreme Court know what the law and order situation is? On the other hand, there are many others who feel that the time for AFSPA in Manipur is over and it's gone, and a way of ensuring that the Northeast remains more integrated with the rest of our country is to get rid of things like AFSPA. But just as we speak about this, and we criticize in many senses the role of the armed forces, let us also look at the good that the armed forces have done. As I speak right now, there is breaking news coming in from Kashmir that Burhan Wani, the single most wanted terrorist in Jammu and Kashmir, homegrown terrorist, he's been killed in action by one of the forces. My colleague Barkha Da joins me on the phone line. Barkha, what are you hearing?
Well, Vishnu, this is a very big story. The details of it are just coming in. But a short while ago in South Kashmir, which has become the epicenter for new militancy in the Kashmir Valley, Burhan Wani, a militant who is, in a sense, become, as you said, among the most wanted militants in the Kashmir Valley, has been eliminated in an encounter, in an operation that the police and other security forces launched in a place called Verinag. This is in Anantnag in South Kashmir. Now, Vishnu, it's very, very important to contextualize why this man is so important. For the last few months, we have seen a new phase of militancy in the Kashmir Valley, where we've actually seen young, educated boys, local Kashmiri boys picking up the gun. Burhan Wani himself was the son, in fact, of a school principal. His father is a school headmaster in a government school. In fact, recently, we spent a week covering this new phenomenon of the educated Kashmiri boy who's picking up guns, and we met a spate of school toppers who have picked up guns. The other aspect of this new militancy is how they've been using social media as a weapon of war. So what Burhan Wani would regularly do is to release these videos of himself and his gang of Hizbul commanders on Facebook. And what is really scary, because we're fighting a new wave of radicalization, is the kind of cult following he had started enjoying among hard-earned radicalized young men in the valley, many of whom, Burhan Wani would release a video, would follow it. Those videos would go viral in the Kashmir Valley. They would change their details on Facebook to that of Burhan Wani. And the other third big change of this new militancy, Vishnu, is that these are militants who did not actually cross over.
No, these are homegrown militants.
No, they not just that, Vishnu. They never crossed over to Pakistan for training. The militants of the 90s all went to Pakistan and were trained in terror camps there. These are militants who, in fact, ironically, while they have cult following among a certain kind of generational hardliners, young men in the valley, have never actually had formal training.
Absolutely.
And to that extent, they, in fact, were operationally much weaker than the earlier set of militants, operationally weaker, but commanding a kind of cult following among radical young men that earlier militants did.
And Barkha, just to interrupt you, you would have seen that one photograph which was released by, I think it was the army, I'm not sure if it was the army or the paramilitary forces, where there were X marks on the faces of all of those supporters of Burhan who were killed over a period of time. And in the end, there were only two left. And I think now, with Burhan having been taken out in this operation, that entire cult group, all of them have, all of them have been accounted for, been taken out.
No, Vishnu, I'll correct that slightly. The particular photograph that you refer to, in fact, is an image of 11 of them. There were 11.
Right.
And till last week, the security forces had eliminated 6. And there were still 5. With today's operation, they have eliminated another 2 that they believe to belong to this
gang.
So there
are 3 left.
There were 11, and there's still 3 left. We have one unidentified militant killed. But Vishnu, the importance of this story is in understanding the phenomenon of what we're witnessing. The son of a school headmaster, another boy I met called Newton, he was a school topper. We are looking at a new phase of militancy where you actually have school toppers from well-to-do households, not poor, not uneducated, who've been picking up the gun and who've used social media as a weapon of war and have acquired cult following.
Yeah.
And you know what's very interesting, Vishnu? Burhan Wani had actually not been charged with a single killing.
No.
Operationally, nobody knows whether he even fired a single shot.
Yeah.
But his warfare was psychological warfare.
Yeah.
He definitely joined forces with the Hizbul Mujahideen.
Yeah.
And this is a major, major success for the security forces.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because this is actually not even an encounter. This is an intelligence-driven operation. They hunted him down in his hideout in South Kashmir, which, as I've been saying, has become the epicenter of new militancy. And
Barkha, I need to interrupt you. We are completely out of time. The picture, the image that we have on the screen over there is of Burhan surrounded by two. The man in the middle over there is of Burhan Wani. He's been taken out in this operation in Jammu and Kashmir. We're going to have to end this debate tonight and also end this program. There's a lot more coming up right here on NDTV 24/7. We're terribly over time. We need to take this short break.